You just heard the new single Red Rush featuring Blazino from my guest today, MTL MC, singer, songwriter, producer, Zimba. How are you doing?
Peace, peace. I'm doing good. How about you?
Doing great, doing great. I mean, I love the track. I just wanted to say, first off.
Bless.
I was just listening to it before we got on the interview here, and the song's lyrics, very contemplative.
Yeah.
Almost like you're like giving advice to someone, either yourself or somebody else. I kind of wanted to ask about that and like what the vibe was going into making this track.
Yeah, I'd say a lot of my music is like this, kind of like me dealing with stuff and venting or like talking to myself in my music, but also anyone who is going through a similar situation. I dropped an EP called Azul with in the summer on June 21st, and then I wanted to drop something that was less heavy and more fun, more, you know, summer bangers EP, which is what I'm gonna be dropping next month on the 21st, and on this month actually. Yeah, so since it was called Azul, I wanted to call it like something red, so I came up with Red Rush. We finished all the songs, so a lot of them are like very dancey, very fun. There's Kings, there's a bunch of other stuff on them. It's 6 tracks total. It was 5 then, and we had just finished the first round of like mixing, which what I thought was, you know, all the mixing and mastering we're gonna do, many such cases. And then I was hanging out with Blazino, he was mixing and mastering the thing. And I was recording at his place, and then he was like, "Oh, I made this beat. I'll play it for me." And I was like, "Okay, this got to be on. It can be like the intro." And I thought, you know, I can give a better idea of like what I mean by Red Rush.
And Red Rush, is that a reference to the superhero character?
Flash, a little bit. It's just I just came up with that, the idea of like something red. I'm a big superhero fan. I think a lot of it came from the idea of me kind of running from place to place, which is what I touch on the song, you know.
Yeah.
Like I'm always busy. I always got to get things going, get things popping. I don't want to be left in the dust. I got to, you know, be as productive as I, you know, humanly can. So there's a little bit of this and a little bit of that for sure.
Yeah. And I also liked how that kind of contrasts with the production on there. It's like laid back, cool, kind of jazzy, almost boom bappy a little bit. Whereas like Kings is more danceable, almost like an 80s funk track. Like what were you going for with that? And what kind of influences were you drawing from on the EP?
Yeah, Kings is very disco. Essentially, I want to give like a good range, a good idea of like the range that I can tap into. It was supposed to be, you know, dance tracks, maybe except for Red Rush, the single. But everything else is different. Like the second song is called What You Want, and it's very kind of like pop, rap, R&B, kind of akin to, I played it to someone and it told me kind of sound like Anderson .Paak. Kings is produced by the homie James O'Donovan. And he played me the song, I think last year. We recorded the first demo for it last year before we recorded the actual song at his place later on this year. And he came up with, I think that was our first collaboration, actually. But he played me this song. I made this disco rap song, famous sample. I'm not going to sample snitch. But yeah, I just wanted to do a bunch of different things. So there's like one song that's kind of like more trap R&B. I have song number 4, The Sun, produced by Slum, is more of I wouldn't say old school hip hop, even though that was kind of 20 years ago, but it is very much kind of like a Kanye, old school Kanye type beat. So the kind of rap that I got into when I was younger, when I was a child, and that inspired me to start writing and listen to rap.
I wanted to ask more about that, actually. Just listening to your stuff, like there's a wide breadth of different sounds that you're taking from and making your own. And like you said, growing up listening to the old Kanye and stuff, but kind of how did you get into making hip hop?
Yeah, I actually talk about it a little bit on the song, on The Sun, song number 4. But essentially, How it started was I saw Gold Digger by Kanye West on TV, and I was like, "Oh, who's Kanye West? He's so good." I didn't even speak English back then, but I remember buying a CD when I was like 9 years old. And LimeWire was a thing. I had an uncle who was living with us, and he talked me out to burn CDs, and he was like, "Oh, he was a big Jay-Z fan at the time." And from that point on, I just kind of started digging, online. I wasn't really crate digging per se, like, in the physical, but I was like online on LimeWire, listening to this, listening to that, listening to jazz, and really digging into it. And when I was in Cégep, so that was like over 10 years ago, when I was 17, 18, I was going to Dawson College, and I was introduced to No Bad Sound and NBS Studio, which is it used to be on the Courtrai in front of the Buddhist temple in Côte des Neiges, but now it moved into Chalet Kent, which is part of the Maison des Jeunes de Côte des Neiges. A lot of amazing talent has come out of that place. So I was lucky enough to join them when I was younger, meeting Dr. Mad, who is an amazing DJ and producer, and he was one of my first mentors when I started making music. So yeah, that was kind of like my origin story.
Gotcha.
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah. You're like your basis in the city. It comes through in your music for sure, whether it's like the bilingual lyrics or just your music has a character of Montreal. And I wanted to ask like how you feel about like the hip hop scene and community right now. You mentioned Light It Up Av, who produced the Azul EP. He has collaborated with friends of the show 110%. So shouts out. So how does Montreal as a city kind of seep into your art?
In many ways, I'm definitely inspired by everyone that's like around me making music. We kind of all know each other. Seeing them do their thing inspires me to do my thing, hopefully vice versa. But it's a small community, through Avi also. He's a fellow comrade of the Loop Sessions. I was, Mad, Dr. Mad started Loop Session with his former English teacher, Lou Pienzo, as part of Nomadic, where Nomadic, created, some of the members created No Bad Sound back in the day. So it's kind of insular. So I think it's in really good hands. It's hard also in other way. So le revers de la médaille is that there's a lot of things going on, but sometimes it feels like you're kind of making music in a void, for lack of a better, better analogy. And at the end of the day, like, I would be doing this regardless, but for a lot of us, it can be kind of hard to feel like we're reaching people other than like our contemporaries and like our homies. But that's also the nature of the music industry and everything being very accessible and very cheap, and not necessarily like paying the artists, and there's just so many people. But honestly, like, there's just such a wealth of talent in Montreal, and it's not just in hip hop, and it's not just now. Montreal, also known back in the day as the Harlem of the North, has always been kind of like a big spot for music. That's why people come and live here.
And like like as you said, like you can definitely see the contrast between the live music scene in Montreal versus recorded works in terms of how artists are getting stuff out there and how they're promoting themselves and how they're reaching new listeners. When you're performing live, I don't know how often you're getting to do shows these days, but like how does that translate into your studio work or vice versa?
A good question. I haven't been as on stage as I have been previously. I used to go by Chizimba when I was younger. So that died like 5 years ago. But there's definitely a lot of crossovers, from the jams. I used to have like a live band also. That was like a big component of my act. But even now, like, I've done two shows this year, this summer, to promote Azul, and those shows were with a live band. So I had like my trio, so me, Blazino, I was on the keys. I also had Avion guitar, so that was a cute little formation that we did for the launch of Azure. And then I also did another trio with Avi, and this time with Johnny Bass, shout out, who was playing bass on the show that we did the day right after. So no, it definitely shows up. I even now, I'm trying to make things happen behind the scenes, and I have a lot of like band formations happening. Like the when I think of Montreal, Montreal music, Montreal hip hop, it's like live band, like festival, like jazz fest or what have you. So it's really attached to our DNA as musicians for sure.
Yeah, I can definitely hear. You said you're growing up. It was your dad listened to jazz.
My dad put me onto other things. My dad put me onto a lot of reggae. My mom was more of a gospel, Congolese gospel fanatic. That's almost all she cares about musically. But my dad put me onto not jazz, but definitely like reggae, Bob Marley and the Wailers, the Fugees. I remember being a kid at like a brunch restaurant, and Hips Don't Lie was playing. I was like, oh, this guy Wyclef used to be in a band called the Fugees. I was like, yeah, whatever, Dad. And now, like, if you're like, oh, wow, like, the influence is definitely there. So, yeah, a lot of influences from my dad for sure.
Cool. Yeah, that sorry, I got that mixed up, but just the jazz history in Montreal, very prominent, and I can hear it in whether it's samples or live instrumentation in your music. It feels very I don't know, it free flowing, I guess. I know hip hop is very constructed at times, especially when things are done on audio workstations or whatever, but your music does feel very like stream of consciousness in a great way. And I'm wondering if that's a conscious thing you're doing or if it just is kind of an expression of yourself.
But kind of both. Like when I write, it's hard for me to, well, it's not hard for me, but most of the time, yeah, I kind of go from like, how I'm feeling, talking about this, and not necessarily having like an idea that I'm following most of the time. But I, even though I do that, like for Kinks, for instance, the sample was saying he was the king, so that's what I came up with the chorus right away. There's like a, I don't know, like there's like a spirit and like a mood, and I kind of follow it. But sometimes if I feel like it, if I don't know, whatever moves me, compels me to do that, I'm gonna like, have like a something more, I guess, thought out or like more structured. But yeah, the stream of consciousness is definitely my way of doing things.
I guess last thing, thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate having you. And the EP Red Rush, November 21st.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
For sure. I guess one last thing. Beyond the EP, what else can we expect from you in the coming year? 2026 is approaching. Full length project, maybe, or.
Yeah, I'm trying to get that, get that out of, lift off, I guess I could say. But for now, full length projects, I'm starting to think about it. Like, I have a J'ai un concept déjà en tête que j'essaie d'explorer. Mais pour l'instant, like, I have another very short EP, maybe two or three songs that I'm planning on dropping next month. We shot the video for one of the songs this summer, but we haven't dropped it yet. It's not finished. But yeah, I think next year I will really want to work on a full-length project and do something really big. But yeah, after these two EPs this year, I'm gonna try and rest maybe for a week or two
Right.
and see what's next.
For sure. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Zimba. Red Rush, November 21st. Thanks for tuning into Whip Appeal.